AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas, and I'm here with
Caleb Briggs,
JC Wilson,
and Jack DeBellis.
And last weekend, these three were successfully able to defend their 2023 6A title to become the back-to-back KHSAA Class 6A state champions, defeating Ryle High School by a score of 42-23. And if we go back to August, coming into the year, there were a lot of people hating on this group, specifically the defensive side, where a specific reporter, Jason Frakes, in one of his articles, said the defense would be a liability for the Shamrocks this year. Well, that turned out to be false, as the defense was probably the strongest, most consistent unit on the field. And we're going to find out what made them so great. And we're going to start with the guy that probably had the straightest road to his role, and that would be J.C. Wilson. So, J.C., let's go back to sophomore year where you got your first real playing time. What was that like as a sophomore, getting your first real varsity playing time?
You know, it was kind of a big deal back then. You know, there was only a couple sophomores of us, like me, Caleb, and Jeremiah, who, you know, got a lot of playing time. But, you know, like when we went into those big games like Center Grove and Moeller, you know, I had to step up, which, you know, my season got cut short a little bit with, you know, mono and stuff that year. But, you know, overall, I mean, it was just kind of a surreal experience, but it was fun. It set me up for success in the future.
Mm-hmm. So, JC, you switched positions around a couple times. You started at defensive end, went to linebacker. What was that like, having to switch positions around, and how was that adjustment? Like, you know, because sometimes players, they don't want to switch positions because they think they're really good at just that. So how was that adjustment going to a different position?
You know, it was kind of, I wouldn't say it was easy, but it was definitely, you know, something that I was able to do and, you know, step up to the plate for. You know, I switched positions, going from D end to outside linebacker at the start of the playoffs junior year. And, you know, some things happened with the team, and I just had to step up and fill those shoes and, you know, make my mark, and went out there and did my thing. Mm-hmm.
Now we're going over to Mr. Caleb Ricks, Notre Dame baseball commit. So, Caleb, freshman year, you committed for baseball to Louisville, so you know a lot about the recruiting process, but not for football. But how would you tell kids the best way to get recruited is to go to the next level?
Just get better every day, 1% better every day. Go to exposure stuff, like something that can get you exposed in front of college coaches. Yeah, that's about it.
So your sophomore year, you started at cornerback, and then your junior year, you had some injuries that derailed you. What was it like having to recover from that injury to be able to get back on the field?
Once I got injured, coming back to football was a little bit questionable at first. But once I talked to a few of the seniors like JC and Jack, they told me to come back at senior year. It wasn't that bad. It was pretty fun, actually.
And then you were probably one of the ones that benefited the most from position change, moving over from cornerback over to safety, where you led the team interceptions this year. And you laid some big hits from the safety position this year, especially one against Ballard. What was that like, moving over from corner to safety and just seeing yourself able to grow as a player and see that in the stats too?
Yeah, moving from corner to safety was actually pretty cool. Just know I could just fly around full speed whenever. That's what makes safety pretty fun. You can ball hog, or you can run down and hit somebody pretty hard. Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to go over to a man who started his first 2 years on the scout team, probably had to go through the most leaps and hurdles to get to where he is now, and that would be Mr. Jack DeBellis, who was the team's leading tackler this year from his inside linebacker position. So, Jack, Tell us what all that hard work was like, you know, having to slowly grind your way to get to that starting role your senior year.
Well, early on it was a struggle, like sophomore and junior year, having to, you know, go every day and just get the shit beat out of you every day and just kind of deal with it. It made things tough then, but, like, looking back at it, I wouldn't have had it any other way. Like, it really did, in the end, helped me. I made relationships with people on scout team that, like, you know, if I would have been playing since sophomore year, then I would have never met some of those guys. I would have never, you know, learned some of the skills that I learned on that end. And it also helped me to communicate and how to lead a little bit, because on the scout end, you know, Coach Botner would bring me the play sheets, and he would just say, and it was my role to get people set and get them going, and then that really helped me to, and it translated over when we were playing, because, you know, I'd been doing it for 2 years already in a fast-paced, you know, practice every single day. But it also made me appreciate just, you know, there's more than just football sometimes, you know, and maybe become better friends with guys like Caleb and JC, you know, always having fun during practice. We always like to have a good time. You know, sometimes we get yelled at for it, but we always had a good time, even when we were getting screamed at during practice, you know.
So, what would you say, like, being on scouting, you have to really get the starters, like, get them ready for the game and go your hardest to be able to push them. And sometimes that's hard because you're on a scout team. The skill level's not going to be there to go against varsity guys like that.
Yeah.
So how did you get the scout team ready and just scout team stay excited to come in every day knowing they weren't going to play in the games, but that this was valuable reps for the offense to fix?
Well, a lot of times for scout team, what was tough is trying to find the balance. You don't want to be the guy who's, you know, you never want to get a target on your back. These guys know because it's, they've been going up against. There's always some kids who.
There's always that one tryhard.
Yeah. There's always a kid who wants to be doing too much, running around. You don't want to be that guy, but you don't want to be given a bad look. You know, you want to make them better. So I'd always just tell the guys, like in years past, just, you know, run full speed and all this stuff, but there's no need to do anything extra. Don't, you know, hit the quarterback, hit the running back, and, you know, just try to find fun in little things. You know, you get. Scout team was always kind of nice, though, because unlike varsity, too, like, you don't realize, like, scout team, you can rotate, so, because there's a lot of guys over there, so you'd get a break, and, you know, I would always just try to have fun with the guys when we'd have breaks, because, you know, you're going to go back out in 3 or 4 plays, and you just got to kind of make some fun of it, you know, and it sucks, but if you have your buddies over there and you make some friends, it's good.
So, last year, 2023 season, you all had a game against Mayo that you lost. And that was kind of that wake-up call loss that you all needed to keep going, get light the fire the rest of the season. Because there was a lot of questions being asked, like, is Coach Cobb the guy? All this stuff coming down on y'all. Because people wanted to see you get it done, because at Trinity, the standard is championships, and you hadn't gotten there yet. Well, this year, you lost to St. X, 16-10. How did that loss really set the fire among all of you to just tell the rest of the guys, okay, this is the wake-up call, that we're not where we need to be right now, that we need to elevate our level?
Yeah, I mean, it really was a wake-up call. Punched us in the face, really. Like, it was... We felt like we were the shit after Mayo, especially that week. And, you know, not only just losing, but what happened after the loss and all the stuff afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of stuff, you know, before and after the game with me, you know, on social media and stuff, a lot of stuff posted. And then, you know, we go out there and the first play of the game, we give up an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
It just, you know, I mean, there was a lot of things that played into that game, I think. You know, we played on Saturday at St. X at 5:30. Didn't have our defensive coordinator. Like, there was just, you know, a lot that goes into it. But at the end of the day, there's no excuses. We lost. And, you know, I think it just, I mean, we got punched in the face and it was time to get up. And, you know, That was the last time we gave up a touchdown for the next six weeks.
I think after that, we started playing pissed off.
Oh, yeah. I think it lit a fire underneath us. We got tired of, like, we went in that Saturday, and we had a wake-up call, and Coach Fox was telling us, he's like, you only get one of these. You can't come in every week, you know, because we were, at least defensively, we were pretty inconsistent at that point. You know, we would give up a good pass, like a team would do a good pass. Yeah, the big plays, all that stuff. And then after that, like Caleb said, we just went into every game with a chip on our shoulder, because before that, people were, you know, loving us, you know, Trinity. Like I said, we were riding that high.
Everybody was patting us on the back.
Everybody was our fan, and then we lost. And then it's like everything, everybody, you just saw instantly from the difference from mail week to after St. X. It's like everybody turned our backs. There were kids in school telling me how, oh, we suck this year, all this stuff. Like at the end of the year, when we had the best record that Cobbs had, and I remember there was a kid in one of my classes who was telling me how Trinity's terrible this year and how we're not going to do anything. But then that's also one of the guys who was one of the first people to congratulate me whenever we won a state championship. Like, it's just, I think that really
pissed us off.
Yeah, pissed us off. And then, like he said, there wasn't another touchdown scored on us till week 3 of the playoffs. So,
Caleb, you and your running mate Will Ford were the safeties back there for most of the year. Well, then Will went down with an injury. How were you able to help a guy like Miles, who didn't play much going into that, but then who made a pretty big impact in the playoff run, having interception in 4 of the 5 playoff games? How were you able to help guide him, to help calm him down with him playing in the biggest stage of his life as a sophomore?
Yeah, Miles was a little bit of a headache at first. but he finally caught on. But he listened to us seniors that were trying to tell him, like, do this for us. And once he stopped thinking back there, he started playing, like, crazy.
Oh, yeah. Especially at first.
Yeah.
He would always he was very ambitious when he first got out there. He was trying to make every call on the field. There were times where he was trying to make inside linebacker calls, you know. Caleb knows he was just running.
he was just trying to do a little bit too much.
Yeah, like he didn't necessarily know. Like, he was making crazy coverages, but I don't know. You could probably ask Caleb, but I would say once he kind of learned to just calm down and stop thinking super hard, that's when he started really playing. Right?
Yeah, that's when he started going. Catching interceptions.
And that's not Miles Housie's. That's white chocolate. That's white chocolate.
That's actually Miles House. But
House, yeah.
We didn't know his actual last name.
Yeah, we didn't know his last name until about a week ago. Yeah. It's not Housie. It's House. But that's white chocolate. He earned the white chocolate name.
Yeah. So then, there were times where you all would, most particularly in the Ballard game and in the state final, where you all would get down early by sizable margins. How did you all, like, not let a crisis become a crisis? I remember Coach Carp said, it's not a crisis until you make it a crisis. How did you all keep that from, like, butterflying into something much bigger and not making it
turn into fun?
Talking about state
game. Ballard and the state game.
I mean, we gave up 3 big plays right out the gate. But then I think, like, you know, going into halftime, it was, what, like 21-17. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you know, the offense, you know, started to pick up the pace a little bit going into that second quarter, going into halftime. And, like, you know, in the locker room, you know, I mean, we're just kind of there. Yeah. It's just us as a team. Like, our coaches, you know, some games wouldn't even come in until the very end. And it was just kind of us as a team, like, and especially like the seniors and then with the young guys who were playing, just saying, like, you know, just settle down, like,
yeah,
that we got 24 minutes to play here.
Well, and like,
the game's not over.
And just having the confidence to be like, we know we're better than these guys. Like,
we know we're better than them, and we've done this before.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
We've been in this situation.
That was huge for state. Mm-hmm. Was the talk all week, and then in the game too, everybody was like, you know, they've never experienced a game like this. We play the hardest schedule for a reason. We played teams that are way better than Ryle. Way better, you know, and it's just once we settle in, they've done all their little stupid trick plays, their fake punts, their double passes. They ran like four trick plays, and then Fox and all of them, we came together and we're like, they got nothing left. They've shown us everything. Now we play our game, you know.
And also, like, specifically with the Ballard game, like, you know, leading up into that game, there's a whole lot of talk on Twitter and stuff talking about, you know, this Trinity defense hasn't been scored on in 6 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, at halftime, I was sitting there, I was like, it was bound to happen.
Yeah,
like,
we're going to get scored on.
You're going to get scored on at some point, but, like,
you can't be perfect.
It's our time to shine now, you know.
Exactly.
Shut out for the rest of the night.
But so, like, I would say, like, once we – really, most games, when we went in there and we realized – who we are, we played how we knew we could play and had that confidence to us, even if we had a rocky start. Once we settled into the game, we knew nobody could mess with us.
So, like, in a world of social media where, you know, you get so much praise 1 week, like you were saying, the pats on the back, like you get all that praise going into a game, and then to feel it all just go away in an instant, how did you all, like, keep the spirits high when some of those low moments happened during the season?
You know, I just think, like, us as a group, you know, specifically as a defense, you know, I don't really know how it was with the offense, but as a group, like, no matter, we always kind of had this, like, bond that, like, no matter what our coaches would say, like, it was our game, it was our team, it was our guys. Like, I knew that, you know, if I'm going out there and they run to the left, I know Grant Botner and Nicola Coker are going to make a play. They run right up the middle, I know Jack is going to come smack somebody, and I know I'm going to do my job. But then again, I don't even expect it to come to me because I know our D-line is going to do their job. And if they throw over top,
yeah,
see Rizzy, I mean, he's going to do something. Yeah. I don't know what. But
and, you know, and Bailey Vance and that D-line, like, there's just nothing you can do. Like, just our D-line led by him.
Don't get me started on Bailey Vance.
Yeah, like, it's just, it was something different, you know. But specifically with the stuff on social media, I would say, like Caleb said earlier, like, it just, that stuff just pissed us off. And then I think it helped condition us. Like, I've told people, if we don't lose to St. X, I don't know that we, you know, are ready to fight Frederick Douglass and come back and Ballard and all that stuff. Because that just, you know, pissed us off. We have something to prove now. Versus before, everybody's patting our backs, telling us how good we are. But then we kind of saw the other side of, now everybody's saying we suck, you know, and it just... it pissed us off.
Especially when people stopped showing up in the student section.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah,
like,
I mean, we went,
like,
what,
when our
we
own,
like,
our own school,
student section.
Yeah, our, when our own, you know, like, when you look and it's supposed to be a big game and, you know, we see you out there, Carter, we see Rocco and all the guys, but then, like, when even the guys in the building are turning their backs on us, now we got something to prove.
You know, I think that also helped, like, with the last question, talking about, like, how did we, you know, come back with things or whatever. Like, we always had to create our own energy from the start. So we never really, you know, we wouldn't get our spirits down if the stands weren't rocking or anything like that. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what would you all say was, because you all were there when Cobb first started. You were like his first class to come in. How would you say you've seen Cobb grow as a coach from the start to where he is now as a back-to-back state champion? Because Cobb was under a lot of fire when he first got here because the first season wasn't too hot. And then the second season kind of fell short of where he could have been. And then after that Male game, it was a lot of questions from the outside people of, oh, is Cobb the right guy? Is what some people were saying. Like, how did you all see Cobb grow over the years as a coach?
You know, I think Cobb has always done a good job of, like, you know, he'll get out of you what he wants, you know, whether you know it or not. You know, kind of looking back at it now, you know, there was always that question of our senior leadership and stuff. But, you know, after the game, it kind of hit me that, like, he's always a guy that, like, believes in us. Like, if no one else does on the staff or any of our teammates, like, I know Cobb knows that we can get it done, especially because, you know, at least as a defense, he's going to put all of his faith in us to get a stop, or, you know, they're going to go for it on fourth down because he knows we're going to go out there and take care of it. And, yeah.
And he's done that all 4 years. He will always, you know,
think he's changed at all. I just think we just started buying into what he was saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, though, like, he's definitely, early on, he was always on the offensive side because he could trust on, you know, like, like freshman, sophomore year, even some junior year, he was just always over there. But I would say this year he was, you know, kind of a little more balanced with everybody, you know, trying to, because he made, like, the defense we run today, people don't realize, like, that's Cobb's defense. He installed it into Trinity. And so he always comes over, and you have something, you know, if there's any questions, he's always there to have a quick answer, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And then, so, like, specific position coaches, you know, you had a different position coach, you had a different one, you had a different one. Who was your position coach?
Coach Carpenter.
So, what was Coach Carp's, you know, point of emphasis to you that was kind of different from, you know, what Cobb was at?
Coach Carp was always, always on LaCoco and I, and, you know, JC was with us a lot too. Anytime we would do, like, one-man sled or anything like that.
Like, individual period.
Individual linebacker period. He would, like, he was always very, he was pushing us and would always tell us about legacy. And, you know, that was huge for him. He would, every time, you know, something was happening, it was always, what do you want your legacy to be? Are you going to work hard enough to where you can have the legacy you want to have? And that's something that, you know, at times it was, you know, we didn't want to hear it. Like, you know, at times it was tough. But one of the things, like, after we won state, you know, he came down on the field and then the trophy, and he was the first one to, you know, he was like, you know, go bite the, because the seniors, when you win state, you bite the trophy. It's a tradition. And he was one of the first people, he told us, you know, go bite the trophy. You guys earned it. You earned your legacy and all that stuff. So that was something that he always harped a lot on that I never really heard any of the coaches or Cobb really talking about, was Coach Carp really was big on legacy and never taking a rep off in practice and intensity. He was always about intensity.
So then you had one of the more popular position coaches, Coach Logan. What was Coach Logan?
Aren't you related to him?
Are you related to him at all, or not?
Related to Coach Logan?
No.
Good one.
So, what was Coach Logan's message to, like, you and the safety group? What did he preach as his biggest point?
He was just telling you to really just have your best game. Just stop, don't think, play 100%, and if you're going to mess up, make sure you're going 100% on that play. Before the Ryle game, he had a little bit different come at him, because all in the news, Ryle was talking about how, like, our old state championships don't matter, and how about it's, like, about the team now. And he saw that, and he gave us a little bit of a message before the game. And we were like, he said something. He was like, I'll take you out that play. And we were like, all right, we need to lock it.
Like, you could tell, like, he was coming and playing pissed off, too.
He was pissed. Yeah, he was very pissed off in that moment.
And then, JC, you had Coach Michael Fox as your position coach. What was the message that he preached to you and the other D-line?
You know, I mean, the D-line was with D.A., Coach D.A., but, like, you know, as just, like, as an outside linebacker, you know, it was – I was the only senior of my group. So, you know, I had to kind of take that role and kind of, you know, help out the younger guys and make them understand kind of what we were doing and why we were doing it. But, you know, Coach Fox, I think, you know, he always had a lot of trust in me because, you know, I was one of the few guys that played a lot last year, you know, especially when we got into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know, he just kind of always told me just to, like, calm down. You know, he would notice when I'd start getting, like, worked up and I needed to just chill out and play my game. But, you know, we always had a pretty solid bond. It was just me and Coach Fox. I was the only senior and went out there and did our thing.
Mm-hmm. So then, well, Jack, what would you say your favorite game that you ever played in at Trinity was?
Like, all 4 years? I don't know, that's tough, because one of my favorite games ever was junior year JV Carmel game. We went up for JV and nobody wanted to be there. It was Saturday. Carmel is like 2, maybe 3 hours away, so long bus ride. But we went up there, and these kids, like, we walked out on the field. All their offensive linemen had knee braces
Mind
on.
Mind you, we beat them by 40 the night before. The night before, so we creamed them.
They like, we went in there, and I remember walking on the field thinking, dang, they're about to, you know, beat the shit out of us. Like, they're big. You know, they all had, I just remember the knee braces, and they had guys who looked like athletes. And we went out there, and they were talking a bunch of crap. They were pushing after the whistle, cheap shotting us, and we went out there and just smacked them. Like, Chris Wilson and Brock Shoemaker, the JV Demons, that connection junior year, there's nothing like it. They first play the game, 80-yard touchdown, and then, you know, defense goes out there, I think we get a stop. But, you know, JC will like this. This is, we still talk about this to this day. There's a mythical football player on our team that we didn't get to see a lot. But Crash Out Botner was born in the Carmel JV game. I've never seen somebody, like, it's like this animal was inside of him, and he was running up, starting fights, pushing people after the whistle. Like, this kid, they had this lineman who, like, was hitting people, pushing people in piles, the whistle blow and stuff, and Botner just would run up and swing on him and stuff like that. The refs were getting mad. And then, but the whole time we were just trolling them, like, me, Will Ford, and Botner on a punt went up, and we're like, this kid's been talking shit the whole game. Let's put him on his ass. And so we run on punt. This guy's running down the field, and Will Botner just tackles the kid full on, and then Will Ford and I just start pushing him into the ground, all this stuff. But that was really fun. But then also, probably, you know, a more recent game was probably the Mel game. Mel game was, you know, it sucked early on, but the defense settled in the second half, and, you know, me, JC, and Nick, we were sitting there, and we're like, you know, there's 2 minutes left in the game. We thought we were going to lose, but we were like, dang, we just got a good stop. If they score here, it's a one-score game. Then they scored, then we got another stop, and we're like, wait, we could win this thing. And then we started going, we got hyped up. That was the most fun varsity game I think I've ever played in.
What would you say, Caleb?
I got a few.
Yeah, let's hear them.
We can go with sophomore year Center Grove.
The ankle bite.
The ankle bite. We can also go this year. We can go Mel game. Mel game is pretty cool. I think the Cincy-St. X game is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Cincy-St. X, we're all just playing. We were on fire just because that was the week after the Louisville-St. X game. I'm going to go with sophomore year.
Why? Why sophomore year, Center Grove?
I don't know. It was my first varsity start. There were so many people there.
It was so loud. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most people I've ever seen in Marshall Stadium. That's about it. It's just a fun game.
Yeah. Overtime win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Johnny Pirtle pick.
Johnny Pirtle pick at the very end. Yeah.
I don't know. I could probably say a couple. Last year's St. X game at home, that was...
Which one?
The one at home. The
playoff game. The playoff game.
Playoff game. That was awesome. Just because that was my true, like, first, like, varsity start. And I went in, I had three sacks. Like, it was awesome, especially because Trevor Havel, he came in, like, second half because Thomas Andrew was shit in the bed. And, yeah, nah, that worked him. But, I don't know, that game was awesome. But also, this year's Cincy St. X game, that was awesome. Mail was fun. Like, I'll never forget sitting there talking to Jack, and I was like, oh, shit, well, you gotta get ready for next week. And then Jason Hagen 80-yard pass, and I'm like, oh shit, we're in this, like, we're still here. But I don't know, probably male Cincy X and last year St. X.
Oh, I got a good one. Freshman year Elder.
Oh, you remember
that was a good one.
Yeah, you were on our defense telling us that was, you know, the best point running corner we're ever gonna see.
Yeah, you remember that though?
Yeah.
Yeah, Elder freshman year.
Is that when he was glazing that one?
Yeah.
He was talking about how good they were.
Our freshman coach all week was saying how this team is the best team we will play Like they're ever. Just, ever, like ever. They're just well-rounded. And we go in there and they are so terrible.
That was the worst football team.
They were the worst team we played all year. And we go around, like, Caleb was calling white dudes the N-word. It was great, like, that we were just flying around having fun. It was our last, like, I think that was our last.
It was our last freshman game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was probably one of them, too.
If we're talking about freshmen, at least for me, the first game against St. Louis. Oh, freshman St. Louis
when we walked them.
Yeah. 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 40. Oh, my God.
That game was awesome.
I don't think JC's ran faster in his life.
That was the fastest game.
I was rolling. Yeah, we went down by. We let them score two touchdowns, and then they missed both extra points.
Yep.
And then I went out on offense, and I dug out Will since he killed. But I caught the ball, and I took it for 67 yards for a touchdown.
Wow.
That was awesome.
I remember thinking that you were going to be a good tight end when I saw that, and it just all fizzled out, didn't it?
Yeah, well, I never got a chance again.
Hey, Center Grove.
Oh, yeah, hey, yes. No. When Caleb got flying right into the chops, I did score that game.
Yeah. That is true.
Oh, we're not going to act like I did not have a strip sack that game. I don't know why nobody talks about that.
Caleb,
what's funny is strip sack and flying right into the chops.
Caleb's future teammate.
Three touchdowns
on you?
Four?
It's football.
We've had some fun games. Oh, for sure.
The best ones are just...
The best ones, like, you wouldn't even think are the best ones.
But it's like...
Eastern was pretty fun.
I don't know.
That was the most boring
thing. Eastern sucked.
I remember y'all started yelling at me that game.
I just wanted to go home. Those games sucked.
Especially because, like, me and Jack, we were closer to home at Eastern.
And then we had to drive all the way back to Trinity. But Caleb was screaming at the refs the whole time.
Yeah, just being an asshole. The nicest ref we had all year.
We had the best refs at Eastern. God. And this guy, Caleb hits a kid late, and this ref...
I did not hit him late.
You hit him late.
I was helping him go down.
And this ref walks up to JC and he's like, hey, just, you know, to make sure, just tell your buddy, number four, you know, just to watch the late hits. And Caleb goes, shut the fuck up!
And the other ref comes running up on him. It's like, what'd you say, Caleb?
What'd you say?
I said, yes, sir. You said, yes, sir.
The ref, what did you say to him?
I told him, yes, sir.
And I'm sitting there, we almost got a flag for it. What are you doing, Caleb? Like, we're winning by, like, we'd scored, like, three touchdowns already.
Rock should make a player of the week through four touchdowns by then.
On four passes.
Nah, bro, you gotta understand, because the rest be on my dick.
That was a slight warning.
I don't care. I get like a warning from a ref every single week. It's football, not fun. Then that one really just got on my last nerves. I didn't do anything.
Caleb likes playing football like he's Ed Reed. He likes to just fly around and hit some people.
Yeah.
Man.
So when you had your big hit against Ballard and they threw a flag on you, what was your initial reaction? Did you think it was a flag or?
He actually did have a reaction. We covered him up because
I was pretty dizzy after that.
There.
I was really dizzy and that.
Jack
and JC caught me. I was falling a little bit.
It was all my fault too. Yeah, all my fault. I was supposed to be covering him and just completely dropped it, but hey, you got a cool video out of it.
Yes,
so.
I saved it for him. Again. There's a lot of times I've saved JC in the season nobody knew about, but.
Yeah, but it's alright, because.
Was that the most popular one, probably?
That was.
No, I think Frederick Douglass one could go up there, too. He just left the wheel route running all the way across the field, but.
Yeah. That one, at least I recognized I dropped it, and I started running after it, too. that Ballard, I just. Yeah.
He has a thing with dropping wheel routes. It's really bad.
Yeah, well, that's why you're back there.
Spider sense has kicked in.
Yeah, something like that.
Spider sense.
I see, buddy.
Yeah. I always just watching the games. I always see Caleb up there at the safety position. I'm waiting for him to do something because I know he's just waiting to get an interception or just. Lay someone out because I feel like you get bored back there when teams run the ball and you just gotta stay back there because the D line.
When teams run the ball, I just get a at that point, I just make up my own fun. Like, I'll just randomly jump onto a pile or something. Usually, yeah, I'll try to start fighting somebody.
It's always at like, the worst possible time.
If I get bored, if I'm bored, or if I'm really mad, I'm going to yell at somebody. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're the coach on another team or a player on the sideline.
The worst one was probably Ballard because they hated him for that.
Oh, my God. When he came back out that next possession.
Oh, my goodness. Because they all wanted him, like, ejected from the game.
They didn't do
anything.
And then their coaches were yelling at you.
They were, like, 10 yards on the field, too. Yeah. And then there was one play that we made on the sideline. And, like, we had gotten up, and Caleb was still on the sideline. Turned around and just got smacked in the back of the head.
Yeah, they were hitting that bitch. You had a target on your back that whole game.
It was bad.
But that hit was...
Louisville St. X game, that was... Their coach was talking a lot.
Yeah, but you, like... The thing is, though, you get mad and all that stuff, but it was never as bad as, like... Like, St. X game when, like, Sonny was, like, right in front of the ref, like, swinging on the kid. Yeah. You know, stuff like that. At least you were somewhat smart about it.
Yeah, I was never, like, a bad trash out. I controlled
I mean, sort of.
Caleb was a controlled trash out.
Yeah, you had some times where it was like, what are you doing, Caleb? But I don't know. And then that hit, like,
Brian Station.
Is that hit?
Yeah, Brian Station, game one. Ball's not even close.
No, you just hit him for no reason. Was that hit the Ballard hit? Are we ranking that above the Dane Morrow Eastern murder?
It was louder.
It was, but I mean, the other kid like was dead on the field. Like,
hey, mine was clean.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah,
that is true. I don't know.
I rank it above Dane's.
I do too. The thing is, it should not have been a penalty. It was a clean hit.
It was clean.
Dane's shouldn't have been a penalty either.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dane's. Dane, he was a little bit on the sideline.
Yeah. Dane's face gets really red, and then it's just.
And it's over. Talk about a crash out.
Yeah.
That was worse than any Caleb. Caleb, you had some big hits, but.
I don't get mad at him.
Yeah, Dane was just a psychopath.
Like, I either start laughing, or like, if I make a play, I'll just start talking shit to the other team. That's the only thing I do. Dane gets, like, he just still wants to take anger at people.
He just sees, he literally sees red. Like, that's one of the few people.
I remember you showing me the huddle clip after something happened in that old of a game where he made someone go off the field on kickoff just so he could yell and attack someone.
When he got kicked out the whole
game. He got ejected.
We watched it on huddle. He switched positions with AJ Hughes on kickoff. He goes here. And so he was the four instead of the five. And he just goes, because the previous kickoff, the guy had targeted him. And then that one, he goes and he just de-cleats the guy. And then they start wrestling. Then a fight starts and he gets kicked out. So none of it would have happened if Dane wasn't a crash head and just wanted that guy's head taken off the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I just found out I got my MRI moved again.
Yeah.
Because the doctors are sick.
The doctor's sick.
Yeah, exactly.
That tells you all about this country's medical. Then the doctor's sick.
The third time it's gotten rescheduled.
Yeah.
Y'all got any questions for me?
Thoughts on the basketball season this year?
Looking pretty good so far. Hopefully, we don't have any more fights with Jew or someone trying to.
What are we thinking? Like,
we could make a run all the way again. It's just a matter of our consistency because our biggest problem right now is just stringing multiple good things together. It's like sometimes we'll have some like really good practices, but then we'll follow it up with like a shitty practice. But then it's like against Mayo, we had a really good first half, but then we had a shitty second half.
That was a problem with us was.
We couldn't start.
Yeah, we couldn't start good.
Finish.
And then a problem, even in summer, they would talk, like Carp would always get on us talking about, He had a corny saying that he would say. it was good, but it was, you gotta build the bricks to the house you, or you gotta put the bricks down, saying you gotta, each day you gotta stack on the things. You want, you know, like that was always tough for us was consistency.
Sometimes you have to get like, you, kicked in the ass, or like you punch in the mouth first.
Yeah.
Then we get going. And it's like, just why don't you just get going right off the jump?
What is what's your favorite game you've ever managed?
Ooh, managed.
Any sport.
Ooh.
Lacrosse or football.
Or lacrosse or basketball. Basketball's really fun when y'all start chanting my name.
Yeah.
I feel good like I did something.
Yep.
That's always
you're right out there with the
that's more to come.
Yeah, there's a lot to come. I hope Bellarmine this year. We're not on the court side though.
Yeah, I know.
That sucks, but we're on that rail.
Oh no, bro, y'all don't know. Like, I like visualize in my head, like, I get bumped by like Chance or someone the next game, and
you
I just
swinging.
I just fall down. No, I fall down. I just pull a Dre Vasher, start screaming to the crowd. Or
if
something.
That happens, I think I would.
I'd rush it.
I think we would rush the court, and it'd just be a brawl at that point. What about what's
and
your?
By the way, we are whooping St. X's ass.
Oh yeah,
if that happens. So.
What is your favorite game you've ever been to though? Like as in the student section.
A lot of favorite games.
Give me a top three.
Last year, Frederick Douglass was a fun one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
The first time I ever really lost my voice in a game, like, bad, was sophomore year male, because that was DeSensi's first star.
Oh, yeah.
I was screaming my ass off.
We almost
off.
Won that game, too.
Oh, my. Yeah, we almost so won funny. That
game. I wasn't even there for that.
You get
mono. Yeah, mono. That was, like...
That was a really...
No, I hated that game. I had Daniel Sweeney running at me. That's what y'all talking about.
The Roy Monster.
That dude was mad.
No, we almost did win. That was the game. Wasn't that the blocked punt?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brutal.
Oh, that game brutal. Sucked after. The coaches were so
dude,
mad.
They were so mad. And then we lost to Ballard the next week.
No, we lost to St. X the next week.
And then Ballard the next week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was like...
Yeah.
We lost to Ballard on some bull junk. They were just throwing the ball up. I remember that game.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the hope one of them bounced off of Gabe's head.
Yeah.
And he caught it. But then also at the very end, Drew came out and DeSensi went in and then threw a pick six. And
yeah.
It was just,
and they danced all over our field.
Then the Senex game, that was disgusting.
I know. What was it?
We were in the red zone like six times.
And then we had that one, they like had a wildcat.
Oh yeah, we
put Jeremiah as wildcat.
No, they...
He's talking about when they put whatever the dude's name.
I will say, I'll give you credit. No, when Caleb got scored on in the same game. But here's the thing. I'll give you credit. All week, the entire week, I still remember this. On our scout book, it was, when three's at quarterback, he's running it. He's a running, it's wildcat. 100.
He's going straight into you.
And then he's going to, they just run him. Like the second time they do it in the game, they run it, and so and every our safeties and our corners all run downfield, because he's going to, and then pop pass, touchdown. Like that's just...
And nobody else was back there. Let's
no
say
one
that.
Was back there.
We were all running towards the dude.
Everybody was going towards the line. But that scout book for you sometimes. We went through some games this year, and we've talked about this, JC, Caleb, and I before.
Dude.
Where we line up, like, you guys don't, we line
like,
up.
In the Rio game?
They're lined up. They're,
nothing that we practiced all week.
Like, we practice all week, and then they don't run a single formation we practice all week. Like, it's... That happened, what was it? There was another one.
It was like the whole playoffs.
Ballard.
Really? Yeah, except Frederick Douglass did what they...
Yeah, Douglass, no. Because Douglass lined up number 64 at tight end to block me.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
They would always do that. And then Ballard just...
Ballard second time did it.
Yeah, Ballard had the same...
Not the second time.
Huh?
The second game?
The second game they had like the same offense basically.
Not really. They didn't motion 15 as much.
Yeah, but they had that same, like...
Yeah, but that changed everything.
That is true.
Yeah,
the motion cooked us
also
the first time.
When we gave up three touchdowns right out the gate to the same dude on the same... Or, well, two
Boy,
of them
it was
the
a
same
slant play. Slant
so
one time
on
and faded.
To looking at the wrong person.
Yeah.
Yeah, that last touchdown he scored, though, was probably the most perfectly placed ball I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I thought he was out of bounds, too.
Yeah.
Like, how close was he?
I just didn't. I didn't know what to do. I was like, well, their fence is right here. And
he's
got to
be out of bounds.
That means he might be out of bounds when he catches this. Do I want a PI call or I want to test my limits?
Yeah,
I should have got the PI call.
That one, Ballard was rough because it was like,
doing everything perfect.
Yeah. And then the thing is, though, like going into halftime, they were doing everything perfect. But it was still like 21-17.
You know?
Yeah.
That's one of the things. That's one thing Coach Saxton says. It's like, because you wear Trinity across any jersey at any sport here, you're at the other team's Super Bowl, and you're going to get their best performance every time.
That was something, like, talking about how, you know, they were playing perfect, you know, we were making a bunch of mistakes, but it was still 21-17. That was, like, that was something that we, like, it was so hard for us to get our heads around sometimes. Like, we would be winning games, but we wouldn't be playing well, and it never felt like we won.
Yeah.
Like, there'd be times, like after the Cincy-St. X game, like, that game was awesome. Like, it was fun. But, like, I came in, and I was like, it felt like we lost almost, because it was 7-3.
Yeah.
Like, nothing really happened.
I don't know. I feel like in Ballard was really bad. I feel like the first, Cincy-St. X, I feel like I felt good after that game, because our whole defense was getting hyped up. But every other game before that and stuff like that, like, we would beat Bryan Station and come in and just get, like, yelled at. Like, it never felt like...
But then again,
we were winning.
I mean, it'd be like on the bench, and we were getting yelled at saying all the sophomores.
Yeah.
All the seniors were getting benched.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you know, I mean, we had six straight shutouts, and it felt like we didn't win a game.
Exactly.
Like, it just...
Yeah, that expectation was just... It was like, oh, you shut them out, so what? Like, they would literally tell us, well, you played...
Yeah,
you're playing terrible people.
You played Fern Creek. You haven't done shit yet. And
exactly.
Like,
damn.
I don't know. That was one thing. We always had to instill confidence in ourselves. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't coming.
No,
it wasn't
like,
coming
was
from
never,
anywhere else.
Throughout the whole year, it was always. Yeah.
Especially because, like, you know, our class was deemed as
the worst.
Like,
shitter class.
Yeah, yeah. Like, no leadership, no nothing. Yeah. You know, we don't know how to win and all that.
Well, I think that came from freshman year because y'all were having, like, leadership issues on the freshman team.
Yeah.
And that's all everyone heard about. So, like,
you
kind of got given that title because of your freshman year.
And again, like, also, that stuff, like, I get it. We were 14 to 15 years old. And now,
well, and that was so,
17,
like,
18,
I would say, like, last year seniors, their class, they all played since, like,
they played their sophomore year. They all started.
Well, no, and I'm saying, like, they played together since they were, like, two.
Oh,
like,
yeah, they all
they
knew
were,
each other. Like,
they all knew each other. Like, our freshman class, you look at us, we've been one of the most
diverse
classes. We came from everywhere.
Came from E-Town.
E-Town, like,
E-Town, Indiana.
Johnson.
Like,
just,
and then, like, Cal, and then private schools, and then other public schools. Like, it was just a mix of
everybody. Yeah. And then at the beginning, we had that learning curve, but then once we beat St. X, like,
or we beat Mayo,
we beat Mayo.
Raps.
Yeah,
like,
so all those dudes went to all those, like, Catholic schools in the area. So
and that first each. Those first six games, we played all out of state teams.
Yeah,
we played Center, or we didn't play Center Grove yet, but it was, you know, Cincy St. X,
Carmel, Moeller, Cincy X.
Oh, there's who is LaSalle?
LaSalle. We played Mayo and
beat them.
Caleb Ricks touchdown return right out the gate.
Well, they had their touchdown. First kickoff of the game.
We had
they
to
were,
start the game off.
And then we returned it, and you and Jeremiah were dapping up Warren.
Yeah, I regret doing that.
Did you yell that for that?
Yeah, I remember that.
It was pretty cool though. That's
Bob,
I knew Bob,
Bob didn't Bob didn't like that celebration.
Oh no.
Looked cool on film though.
Yeah, it did.
Looked cool on film.
How far Bontner's come though. Now Bontner's like that chill like coach.
like, he's like that vet. Like,
is he unk yet? Has he reached unk status yet?
No, he's just
a chill guy.
Coach Logan is unk for sure. He's like
that.
All he ever does is walk around. Yeah, back when I played and all this stuff, and he's like,
"You guys wouldn't survive."
And he's still like hobbling around. You know, he's got that like, he's got the unk walk going because his legs barely work anymore. Like,
he goes to the gym every morning, but he's still got like that like beer
belly. We went to Twin Peaks and
you know Madeline.
You know,
God Almighty.
Oh, yeah. So that, Logan will forever be Unk, for sure. Maybe Bontner will get there one day. All right.
Well, thank you all for coming on. This has been another episode of the Uncensored Podcast. I'm Carter Haas.
Caleb Briggs.
JC Wilson.
Jack DeBellis.
Thank you for listening.